Yep, seems to be going. Wonderful. Jennifer, what a pleasure to see you again. On and off over the last 20 years, you and I have had these moments, haven't we?
Yes.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because you are so prolific in so many different genres, what excites you about writing, let's start with romance, because you've written a ton of romance.
Yes, I have written a lot of romance. I kind of started out as a romance author and a mystery author at the same time, and then kind of my romances kind of took off, and I kind of pursued that. For romance, I started writing those because I wanted to write stories where people fell in love and got to stay together. I actually did not grow up reading romance. I grew up reading fantasy and mysteries, and a lot of times there would be a touch of romance in there, but then, like in the next book, the couple would be apart again, or one of them would die. Someone was always dying. So I said, you know, I want to write where the couple stays together. Maybe I should write romance. And so I started reading romance and then trying it out. So really for me, it's, and also one thing I learned about writing romance is that you can write anything. You can write suspense, historical, crazy paranormal. I do shapeshifters.
Pirates, you left
pirates.
Out pirates.
Yes, and pirates. You can do a lot of things, but the key is that at the end of the story, everyone is together and happy, and you know that they're going to stay together, and that appealed to me.
Oddly enough, I grew up reading romance as much as I grew up reading mystery, and if I default, it is to romance. Mary Stuart, Victoria Holm, I count. A lot of that's romantic suspense, but I really grew up reading Jane Austen and Georgia Hare, who still is my favorite author. So I can understand the appeal for the reader, but how do you switch gears? But, and by the way, since this is a podcast and I forgot to mention, this is Jennifer Ashley, who also writes as Ashley Gardner.
Yes.
Right. So how do you switch gears, you know, when you're writing romance and then you're going to go to writing mystery? Do you have to make any kind of mental adjustment?
Well, I don't really have to make an adjustment because I can compartmentalize what I'm writing. And I'm not so much saying, okay, now I'm writing a romance, now I'm writing a mystery, as I'm writing this series and I'm writing this series and this series. Like I write a series called the Captain Lacey Regency Mysteries. And I say, okay, that is about this set of characters. It's an army captain who's come home from the Napoleonic Wars and is kind of, he's broke and depressed and he's kicking around London and he finds crimes to solve. And so that has built up, you know, a whole cast of characters, and so I know I'm with those characters. But yeah, I do have to say, okay, we focus on the dead body and the suspects and who did it, whereas in romance, we focus on whatever that plot happens to be, and it can also be a murder mystery. But in romance, I say, okay, I have to focus a lot on the hero and the heroine, and their relationship kind of takes precedent. Whereas in the mystery, even though my hero, the Captain Lacey, and also the new one, the Cat Holloway, they have a little bit of romance going on. There's another person in their lives. That is kind of, you know, in the background. So it's kind of, I kind of have to flip opposite. But since I'm so familiar with the characters, I just know what they're going to do.
When you write romance, is each book more or less a standalone, or do you repeat your characters?
In romance, for me, right now, I write a series that's usually based around a family or a community, and each book in that is a standalone, like there's one couple per book. And so there's a continuing series that are tied together, but it's not a continuing couple, which I actually would love to do.
Is there kind of a pact in a romance between you and the reader that both the hero and the heroine are going to survive the book, always good, and that they're going to end up together? I mean, it's sort of classic romance plot. It used to be boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy wins girl, although increasingly it's girl meets boy, girl loses boy, girl wins boy. And then the middle-aged version is husband dumps wife, wife learns to bake, and, you know, forms a new, and then finds a new guy, and then husband comes back, and then the wife decides, almost always in favor of the new guy. You know, and that's just a variation on the classic. Whereas in mystery, you have to solve the crime, and it's not necessarily the case that everybody survives to the end.
Right. Exactly. In romance, yes. If you kill your hero or your heroine, your readers will find you and beat on you. So don't ever do that. I've heard of writers who have done it, and they have lived to regret it, barely. In romance, so yeah, there is the idea that everyone knows that the hero and heroine, the couple, if you're writing erotic, the menage, are going to be together and stay together. And the readers know this, but what they want is the journey from how they meet to how they end up together. In mystery, it's a little bit different. And they want that emotional journey. It has to be a lot of emotion in romance. In mystery, it's more about the puzzle and solving and finding out what's going to happen. People don't necessarily have to end up happy. There are mysteries where you don't actually even have to solve the crime, or you can leave it, you know, open-ended, like, did we solve the crime, or really was it this other guy? I've seen that done very well. I think in mystery, people want to see, at least I do, I want to know a resolution, a satisfying resolution, whether the criminal gets away with it or not. You know, I still want to know with the sleuth, you know, did we solve all the problems, or at least have a satisfying resolution?
Did you identify them? Right.
Right.
I really love the Captain Lacey books. For those of you who read C.S. Harris, who's one of my personal favorite crime writers, Captain Lacey pairs very well with the Sebastian St. Cyr, although he has a different history and so forth. But Jen, why is it then in the two mystery series, both the Captain Lacey and now your new one with Kent Halloway, why have you decided to write historical rather than contemporary?
At one time in my life, I said, I will read anything as long as it's historical. I just absolutely love history. And I have even when I was a little kid, I read Little Women and Anne of Green Gables and the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. And I just fell in love with the past. So even though when they were writing it, they were contemporaries, but you know, by the time I got there, they're historical. And I've just always loved history and the past, and you know, finding out and learning that people then weren't so different than we are now. So when I started writing, actually, I started writing in the 90s when I really started trying to learn to write, and a historical mystery was very popular then, and it's starting to come back now too, but I just couldn't imagine myself writing anything except historicals, because I got the best of both worlds. I got that deep history, and I got the mystery, which I love mysteries. When I came here today, I got here early, and I went shopping and I bought lots of books. And I'm still looking around going, oh, wait, I didn't get that one. But when I started writing romances, I wrote historical first, and I still write them. So for me, it's just something that just appeals to me, and I just adore.
So we're talking about your new Kent Halloway series, antecedents that you might all be familiar with, certainly Upstairs, Downstairs, for any of you who watched that, and more recently, Downton Abbey. And then there was a movie, the name of which is escaping me, which was, do you remember that?
Gosford Park.
That's exactly what it was, Gosford Park. So the role of the servants in the servants' hall has become clear. There was also a really interesting British series, which I didn't watch, but some of you might, where they took people from today and had them try to run an old country house, you know, and it was too hard. I mean, they just, the work was too hard, you know, the conditions were not, they were too rigorous for the softer us, and so nobody wanted to stick through that whole thing. So you've gone down and taken, which I think, the person who's kind of at the heart of the house, which is the cook, mm-hmm. because without her.
Yeah.
But you also appear to me to have based her on Mrs. Beaton's, I can't remember the total name, but what is it, Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Isabella Beaton. Her name was Isabella Mary Beaton, and Isabella Beaton's Book of Household Management. Yeah. That was she was the Julia Child of her time. Mrs. Beaton, actually, sadly, she passed away when she was only, I think, just barely 30. But she wrote this book that became like a bestseller and a classic for probably until the 1930s. and she published it in the 1860s in England. And basically it takes you through how to manage a household from how to, it was for kind of middle class women. It was how to run your house, how to deal with your servants, what you do with your cook, what you do with your maids, all the chores they needed to do, all the food you needed to buy, and where to find it, and then how to cook it. And she has millions of recipes. And I was going, how could this very young woman have put this huge book together so fast? But she and her husband owned a magazine, and they wrote articles and had other people contribute articles about all this stuff. And the Book of Household Management was a compilation of about 10 years of that. And they published it in a book, and it was a bestseller. And sadly for both of them, Isabella died of childbed fever, what they called, you know.
Puerperal fever.
Puerperal fever, yes. Right. And her husband lived on, but he went broke, and he sold the rights to the book and died in poverty. I mean, it's really, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be such a downer, but. I found a lot of recipes, and I have other Victorian cookbooks that just are amazing, and the recipes read very modern. There's only a few ingredients that might be harder for us to get, and they might use arrowroot instead of that other thing that you use to thicken
cornstarch.
Right. Yes, but otherwise, a cream of tartar. That's what I was trying to think. But otherwise, a lot of things are the same. And actually, I brought a recipe card, which is in my bag somewhere. For seed cake, which is very similar to pound cake, but with caraway seeds in it. So I'll give you out a recipe for that for you to try.
Well, there was a tremendous amount of baking, but I mean, the point is that household management was not just about cooking. It was about supplies to a great degree. It was about medical care for the household. It was about cleaning. The butler usually, or gentleman, took care of the wine and spirits. You know, that was not really normally a part of the cook. Or her management, right? There was a cellar involved and all that. But, you know, these households, when you think about the number of servants they contained, were all really mini organizations, and they needed, in theory, the wife was the CEO, the whoever was the wife of the owner of the house. And, you know, they were brought up to learn to manage households, but often they were never even allowed in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you know, true. So they were at the mercy, essentially, of the cook. And the cook would come up and they would do menus and so forth. But the wife didn't know how to cook, as a general rule. So you can see how important this person called Kat is. I thought she was fabulous. I also thought she had more free time than I wouldn't have expected. But
well,
then she's solving a crime. So she
that's
probably a conceit of the book, right?
Well, the reason I did that is, one, I did need her to solve crimes. So I need to have a little more free time. But how I set her up is this: Kat Holloway is a cook who is, she's about 29, and she's an exceptional cook. She has a fabulous reputation. So she can kind of pick and choose who she wants to work for. And she's always looking for people who will give her at least 1.5 days out, which is unusual. Most people got either a half day or maybe a whole day. But she wants more time out because the secret is she has a daughter that nobody knows about. And there's all to do with her first husband and, you know, a lot of drama there. But she wants plenty of time to spend with her daughter. So she makes sure that she stays in a household where they will give her a lot of autonomy in the kitchen and let her leave when she wishes. And that helped, you know, that helps her go out and solve the crimes too. And she has friends to help her do that as well.
It's important to remember that Mrs. was a courtesy title for people like her. You remember that in Downton, because remember the butler actually romances them. Any of you, by the way, see the Good Karma Hospital on television? Oh, listen. Go to Acorn and watch the Good Karma Hospital. But that marvelous Scottish woman who's the housekeeper in Downton Abbey is in the Good Karma Hospital, and she is amazing. So I'm hoping, because I really liked her as a character, but she could hardly have been romancing the butler if she were actually married. So
right.
Mrs. is a deceptive title, a courtesy title. So it's Mrs. Cat is a Mrs., but not necessarily really a Mrs.
Right, she's Mrs. Holloway, She thought she was married, but turns out she wasn't. And so she took, but she took her maiden name and put Mrs. on it, and just, you know, keeps that really quiet.
All true. So it's a wonderful setup. And she enters the household of Lord Rankin. I kept thinking of Ian as I was going along, but he spends all his time in the pub, so obviously it wasn't going to be Ian Rankin. But anyway, so there she is with some autonomy and a decent salary in this household in London, and then a crime occurs.
Yes, of course. The dead body has to occur. It's a mystery.
And that's pretty much all we really need to say about it, except how much fun it is to read. My hope is, this is a personal hope, that you are going to find her interesting enough that you are going to continue to write her, because I hate it when I keep losing you. But Jen's a professional author, and she does have to write what her publisher is willing to buy and sell, right?
Yeah, that's true. I have the second book in this, the first book in this series is out. It's out this week. Second book will be out in July. I've just signed the contract for the third book, and then we'll see after that. And nowadays, if my publisher is done with the series, I continue it as self-publishing. My Captain Lacey series, they did 6 books, and then I got the rights back to that and self-published those, and now I'm on book 13, and that series is going really well.
That's really good news. I like that. And the title of this new book that you are debuting today
is? This new book debuting today is Death Below Stairs.
And it is our historical paperback pick of the month, because we all really enjoyed it. John really enjoyed it. Do you have any comment you'd like to add and as to what you found wonderful about the book? I pretty much covered your questions. Oh, good. Well, anyway, here's the word. You guys can do your part to make sure this series continues by actually buying a book. I know it's a heavy sales technique here, but nonetheless, it's really true. You know, that's how authors get to go on supporting themselves and writing series, is people have to like them enough to buy them and read them. So really good news. Well, thank you, Jen. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you for asking me to come here. I love coming to the Poison Pen, because not only do I, you know, get to talk to you, I get to shop.